This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. It's Thursday, October 21st. It's Alabama week. We're rolling along. It feels like just yesterday it was Monday, and now here we are, just a couple days away from going to Tuscaloosa. But you listen to the Blitz, Charlie Collier. Intern Ryan's up there behind the board right now. GP3 is here. He'll be right back in a minute.
He's somewhere around here.
No Chance Collins the rest of the day or the week. Him and his old lady getting out of town for a little break before the baby comes.
Can't blame him on that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of those I think it's her
birthday too. So, coming up.
Nice little double-edged sword right there.
Yeah, we're taking you into the weekend though. 105.7 FM. 1340 AM, streaming live on Twitter and on Facebook. That live stream powered by MyBookie. And also live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer studio. Bunch of flavors. Bunch of deliciousness.
Oh, yeah.
Not that many calories. Limited calories. Gotta love White Claw. Get you some today. Do the third Saturday in October with some White Claw. But we're kind of in that perfect spot in sports right now. A lot to get into today. We got, you know, college football, NFL in full swing, MLB playoffs, NHL and the NBA both playing now. For those that like that foot stuff over there across the ocean, you got Champions League stuff going on too. So good for you guys, but
y'all know you got it the whole year. Let us have our moment.
Man, I'm just excited for what we got going on right now. But Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Charlie. You know, got a good amount of sleep yesterday. One of those stayed up watching some of the NBA basketball games. Didn't realize how late those go. I totally forgot about that. I was trying to watch the Blazers last night against the against the Kings, and it just kept going on and on. But it was good. It was awesome. I definitely am, like, smiling a little bit more, just that there's always something to watch instead of, you know, when you don't have that show to stream, you don't know what the heck to do besides rewatch the show you've seen, like, 1,000 times. So it's nice to have some live sports, you know, especially with the way they've been so explosive right on primetime. You doing all right today, Charlie?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm tired, man.
I hear that.
I got home last night, and like my stomach wasn't upset, but it felt like I was getting like stabbed by knives. Like it felt like I had swallowed a million knives. So I just laid there, and couldn't sleep till like 4 in the morning. I was just debating. I was like, do I need to go to the hospital?
Yeah, holy cow! You look all right. You're upright.
But
right
yeah,
now.
Then I finally fell asleep at around 4 a.m. and I woke up. I'm straight now. So
we're good.
Woo. All fine.
What, you think you ate something funny or something?
No idea, but the whole time, I was waiting tables last night, too, and the whole time it was just, I was just like, oh, this hurts. Like, it wasn't like an upset stomach feeling, though. It was just like the pain.
What, did you sneak some hints? It's like, I'm not feeling my best today.
Of course not. You're going to get amazing service. Also, I waited on a guy last night from Middle Tennessee.
Okay.
Named Charlie Collier.
What?
That is a Titans fan that was at the Bills-Titans game on Monday.
No way.
Yes.
He spells Charlie like you too?
Yes.
What? and you've never heard of this guy before.
No, I've never heard of him in my life. I think he's a couple years younger, but...
Oh, my gosh. You may have just met one of your alternate selves over here.
Yeah, I mean, I hit him with the, oh, hey, you know, I'm Charlie, I'll be taking care of you. And he goes, oh, cool, my name's Charlie, too. And I was like, oh, what's your last name? He's like, Collier. And I was like, yeah, me too.
Man, that's creepy.
Then he had, like, cool. The Titans debit card, and I was like, hey, tighten up. And he goes, oh, yeah, I was there Monday night. I was like, yeah, me too.
You got a new best friend?
It was weird. Very weird. But you also had a great college football game last night. Did you get a chance to watch any of App State, Coastal Carolina?
Yeah, I caught the tail end of it because I was just getting off work around that time. It was a, man, good for App State.
Good for Chase Bryce. Good for Chase Bryce. Almost threw for 350, couple touchdowns. Did you see the tweets, too?
No, I didn't catch the tweets. Are there some juicy ones?
Yeah, so after the game, it was Chase Bryce that tweeted it. Let me pull it up for you. This is great radio as I searched the the tweet, but here we go. Yeah, it was a screenshot of one of the Coastal Carolina players DMing him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it said, imagine transferring somewhere to lose to some kids from Myrtle Beach. That's if you even win the job. Tongue-sticking out face. It was Teddy Gallagher of Coastal Carolina. Chase Bryce tweeted that one out. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, man. Didn't App State, like, storm the field afterwards, too?
They did. It was their first win over a ranked opponent since 2007. Kind of felt like this was a storm that was brewing for Coastal Carolina, though. They had been kind of sloppy this year. There are times that they weren't sloppy, too, obviously, and they've looked good, but at the same time, you know, there have been times where they've just haven't looked all that great.
Yeah,
so I mean, they've been in some games that have been closer than they need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had bad first halves and then used their talent to pull away. So it's kind of the perfect storm. App State at home. I mean, it's still a good App State team, even though they're having a little bit of an up-and-down season. You think Chadwell still has the same stock in the coaching carousel that he did
before
even at the beginning of the season?
Man, I mean, he's still like on that like bubble to go up next. So like, I think he's there, but it is going to be tarnished a little bit, you know, just because it seems like they were hanging on by a thread to be able to get to that pretty much their peak, which they were just sitting at like 14, you know. So it's like one of those that, oh, feels like there's just something missing. It's either he's coaching a team that's not at the caliber that he should be coaching, because I do think he's a nice coach, and I do think he's going to go somewhere. But also, is he doing something wrong just because they've barely, like we said, barely made it through? I don't know. So I would have to say probably not too much. Not too much, as long as he finishes out this season really solid.
I know that there were a lot of people clamoring for him to end up in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last 3 weeks they had looked better. They 50-pieced UMass, 50-pieced ULM, and beat Butch and his boys by about 30. But those are three really bad teams.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought during our coaching search where we ended up with Heupel that Chadwell wasn't quite ready for a job like this.
Yeah.
It intrigued me. I mean, if we hired him, I would have enjoyed it just because I enjoy him.
Yeah.
And it could have worked, but I kind of had some questions. And this season, I still think, shows that even a little bit more, that he needs some more time. But I do like what he's doing. You know, he's recruiting has changed so much lately, and I feel like it's kind of gotten worse on an evaluation scale throughout America, because we've gotten to the point, I mean, you need two out of three to play college football.
Yeah.
Size, speed, and actual football ability. I feel like we focused a little bit too much on the size and speed, not quite enough on ability But football, I mean, so you get guys that, you know, you get them at a camp and they're 6'3", 225, and they run a 4.55, and, you know, that's great, but they just don't have the natural ability to play football. But then you get guys that, you know, might be a little undersized that are just really good football players. And some of these group of five schools, these mid-majors, these FCF schools, have kind of adapted the way that they're recruiting a little bit, where more so they're looking for guys that have just that were just really successful in high school, that, you know, that just showed a natural ability to just be good at the game in spite sometimes maybe of size or of speed. Now, that's not to say that, you know, they're not still trying to get highly rated players or very athletic players, but I just think with Coastal Carolina and with Chadwell, what I really like what he's done, it feels like they've put more of an emphasis on guys that, hey, I mean, he's just a dog. Like, I don't care that he is 5'11", 215. I mean, he had 200 tackles his senior season in 5A, you know, Georgia football or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about him. I do like that. But yeah, we got some good games last night, and then we also got playoff baseball, and I'm sure GP3 will be very pleased with his Braves. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and hit a quick break here. When we get back on the other side, I believe GP3 will be joining us. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz, GP3 has joined us. And before we get into the rest of the show and talking Vols Bama, I got to talk a little bit of Braves with you.
You have earned it.
I will agree to have this conversation. You're up 3-1 on the Dodgers. Congratulations. So,
deja vu.
Last night's game, you know, coming into it, you were facing Urias, correct?
Yeah.
And you guys were throwing a bullpen game, correct?
A de facto bullpen game, yeah. Because we threw Smiley out there in the second. So he used to be a starter for us. Like,
right.
He started probably 3/4 of the season before transitioning to the bullpen. But, yeah, for the most part, it was a bullpen
game. So how did you feel about your chances last night as that game kind of – or before it started and then, you know, as it started to play out?
Oh, I was not confident at all going into last night's game. You go back to 2018 before last night. That was the last time the Braves had won a game, including the playoffs, at Dodger Stadium. So it had been over 2 years, 10 straight games the Braves had lost in Dodger Stadium. We were pitching a bullpen game, which, granted, our bullpen has been really good over the last month or so of the season. But when you're playing the Dodgers and they have 20-game winner Arias going and you're pitching a bullpen game, I wasn't confident at all. But you got to give credit to those guys. Drew Smiley came in, did work, went 3 3/3, ended up giving up 2 runs, even though it was Chris Martin who technically gave him up. He was responsible for the runners on base. And that was it. A.J. Minter went 2 innings. Tyler Matzik did his job, and Will Smith shut the door after it was out of reach.
Well, what's the deal with the offense? Why are they just all of a sudden popping off? I guess it's not even all of a sudden. They ended the year well, but against the Dodgers, even against Urias, what is going on?
I have no idea.
It's amazing.
I mean, the first couple games of the series, it was close, like 3-2, 4-3, 5-4, I think, or the score, something like that. Just really close, low-scoring games, and now you see the emergence of Eddie Rosario, where if the Braves are able to close it out tonight, he's going to be the NLCS MVP. He went 4-for-5 last night, 2 home runs, a triple, and a single. He was a double short of the cycle, and in his last at bat, ended up hitting a 3-run home run instead of a double to close it out.
Is Eddie Rosario your Howie Kendrick?
Kind of, except Howie Kendrick had been with the Nationals a lot longer.
Yeah.
We traded for Eddie Rosario at the deadline, which
the deadline acquisitions didn't really feel all that monumental when they happened. It was just like, oh, okay, cool. You know, they added some bench bats, some outfielders, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they went out
and it has been amazing.
They went out and got Jock Peterson, who everybody expected to be a bench bat. They went and got Jorge Soler, who was not playing well at all at the time of the trade. Like, he had been
you know, playing pretty bad with the Royals.
Yeah.
And then they got Adam Duvall, which that was probably the one that most people were excited about because he was killing it with the Marlins. And then they also traded for Eddie Rosario. But when we traded for Rosario, he was on the IL. He didn't even get to play for the Braves for about a month after the trade happened because he was injured. So, I mean, there was no big splashes at free agency, but just the way they've all come together, gelled, completely revamped the outfield. I don't see how you don't give Alex Anthopoulos an executive of the year after.
Well, I mean,
honestly,
the additions that he made have been monumental.
And
so,
then giving up next to nothing to get these guys too.
What was the biggest asset y'all gave up?
Maybe Alex Jackson, who was a MLB ready catcher. We traded him for Adam Duvall. And then we traded a couple first baseman prospects for two different pieces. But when everybody said, oh, if we're trading first baseman prospects, that must mean talks between Freddie and the Braves are going well because Freddie Freeman's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
So how nervous are you for tonight? Obviously, I mean, it's Max Fried for the Braves. Beloved Max Fried.
The guy you want on
the guy that, I mean, he was your ace coming into the season. He obviously got off to a slow start.
He's an ace in the making. He really is.
But he finished the season really well, and it's presumably a bullpen game for LA. What's your level of confidence? You think you're going to win this game?
As an Atlanta Braves fan, I don't want to be too confident. I've seen this song and dance many times before, but I would be hard-pressed to say I'm not confident that we're going to win tonight. I think the team can smell blood in the water. Justin Turner went down for the Dodgers last night, so...
So if you're picking this game, who are you taking?
Oh, I'm taking the Braves, if I'm picking, if I was betting on it. Braves are probably going to be the favorite, too, with Fried on the bump, and them pitching a bullpen game. Their bullpen's worn out, too. None of their starters have been able to go deep in any games. Urias, I think, went 5 innings last night. Walker Buehler only went 5 1/3. Max Scherzer, I think, went 5 2/3. So their starters haven't been able to take them deep into games. Their bullpen's got to be shot. Braves have been able to see these guys a lot. They're hitting the ball well. They can smell the blood in the water. They know where they were at last year. They're not going to let that happen again. And with Fried, the difference between last year and right now is the starting pitching. Fried did pitch in Game 5, I think it was last year, when the Braves were up 3-1, but he was pitching on short rest. He's on full rest this go. I think he's a much better pitcher than he was last year. And even if somehow you do lose this game, the people behind Fried, you got Ian Anderson ready to go Game 6, and then you'd have Charlie Morton ready to go Game 7. I think that's the biggest difference is the starting pitching.
Yeah, and they've almost showed out better than the Dodgers starting pitching for like a quarter of what they're getting paid?
Yeah, I mean, Max Scherzer, it's hard to hold anything against Max Scherzer. He's getting up there in age. His arm is just dead due to mismanagement. They've been using him out of the pen. They used Urias, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right or not. They've been using him out of the pen, too. I think they used him out of the pen in Game 2 or Game 1, and the Braves smacked him around a bit for a few runs. I think it was Game 2. It was when we were down by 2, and then he couldn't even record an out, came in, and Ozzy started that rally. I'm excited. I've never, as a cognizant adult, or even teenagers, seeing the Braves play in a World Series.
Yeah.
So this would be one of the highlights of my fandom if they could get this done tonight.
I mean, when the Nats won the World Series, I contend it was the greatest day of my entire life. So.
Yeah, I mean, if they could just make it to the Fall Classic, I'd be happy. With the way everything's gone this year for the Braves being, I don't know, we were 5 games below 500 at the All-Star break, something like that. I don't know. It's be something special. They feel like a team of destiny, much like the Nationals did in 2019.
Soler, would he be back for the World Series?
He could possibly be back for the series, or like the last 2 games of this series if it gets to that point. But yeah, he should be back at the very least for the World Series.
Nice. And I mean, if you want to put your money where your mouth is, the money line plus 124 for the Braves right now. So they still are the underdogs.
They're still the underdogs?
Even in a bullpen game right here.
I'm going to go...
Yeah, that might be a hammer.
That's I don't know. Do I really want to bet on an Atlanta sports team in the postseason and bet against the most talented roster in baseball facing elimination?
Listen, though, are they still the most talented roster? They're not. They don't have Max Muncy.
Yes.
They don't have Max Muncy. They don't have Justin Turner.
I think they still are even without those two.
Yeah, what do you do? Just throw Lux just in the infield?
Well, I think you're going to have to move him maybe to third and then put Pujols at first and then move Cody Bellinger back to the outfield maybe.
King Albert. He did get a nice base hit yesterday. I did see that.
Yeah, it was his first hit of the series. He's played in every game to this point.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Gavin Lux in center field, though, has been a disaster for them. He's cost them so many.
I don't understand that move at all.
I mean, in game three, he had that misplay in center field where Austin Riley hit one to the warning track, and he just botched it. And then last night, Jock Peterson hit a looper into center field that should, like any normal center fielder catches that ball, but he pulled up short on it.
And Urias, rightfully so, had some words to say to him from the pitching mound.
Yeah, he showed up as outfielder, which is something you shouldn't do, but I mean, he had a reason to be mad. That's a ball that should be caught.
Yeah. There's something going on wrong internally with the Dodgers right now because I view that win that they had against y'all very lucky.
It was a fluke. I mean, I can't even be mad at Luke Jackson. It was a great pitch. Cody Bellinger, to his credit, he looked for a pitch in a certain spot. He got it, and he hammered it. But Cody Bellinger doesn't scare me like he used to. I know he hit the 3-run home run to tie the game in game three, but he's not the same player he's been in the past.
Yeah, he's just an absolute shell of what he used to be. Like, that was, again, I don't even know how he turned on that ball up there. And I would like how Luke Jackson, even, like, for the worst pitch that was thrown for y'all so far this series, he's still like, I would do it again.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't a bad pitch.
It wasn't a bad pitch at all. And you got to just tip your hat in that instance and say, hey, he beat me.
Meanwhile, Astros, two straight convincing wins against the Red Sox, I guess. Last night, more convincing. They didn't need a ninth inning, two-out rally. But you think at this point it's going to be Braves-Astros?
It's looking that way. The Red Sox got Pivetta, I think, going tomorrow because they're off today. Today's a travel day. I think the Red Sox could force a game seven, but I just think the Astros are too experienced, too deep to drop this one.
It's just it feels like the Red Sox offense finally just ran out of juice.
Yeah, Kiki Hernandez. Even if they lose a series, he still might be named the ALCS MVP.
Right,
he's still the betting favorite.
Jeez. I mean, they had a grand slam in every playoff game until yesterday, right?
Yeah,
or two days ago. So, you know, when that happens, obviously law averages, your bats are going to cool down eventually. But that was some Braves talk for you. I didn't think I'd do that, but here we are.
Yeah, you might get some more tomorrow, depending on how tonight goes.
You get some more tomorrow. Lovely. But we got a lot to get into. We got some comments from Nick Saban. He was talking about who he thinks the best offensive player on Tennessee was, and more in his SEC teleconference. We got some quotes from Heupel, too, and we got some matchups to look at here in this third Saturday in October. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, live stream powered by MyBookie. Also want to let you know about our friends over at G&J Auto. They're giving away some free stuff over at G&J Auto Graphics. They're having another drawing on the drive, giving away three prizes on Friday. That's three. A car detail, a ceramic pro coating, and a window tint. And all you have to do is go to fanrunradio.com and click on the G&J auto giveaway link to register. Again, they're giving it away for free. It's so easy. You have absolutely zero reason not to sign up. I don't even care if you don't live in Knoxville. You might as well sign up. You know, if you're sitting there listening to it, again, all you have to do is just go to your phone, your iPad, your Kindle, your Mac, whatever you have. Whatever you have that gets you on the internet. Your browser and your PS4, I don't care. Just go type in fanrunradio.com. Go register. Nick Saban, he had some interesting things to say in his SEC teleconference. He always does.
Yeah.
Always does.
You always feel like you learned something.
I saw the video of somebody who asked him a question while holding his baby.
Yes, that did make me laugh.
It reminds you that Nick Saban is human after all,
exactly.
And not a
kind of.
Not
I don't know.
A cyborg.
I'm not convinced. Football. I'm not convinced he might not just be like a reptilian or something, but
lizard person.
During his portion though of the SEC teleconference, he said that there was no question that he's been surprised what Tennessee's been able to do this year despite their record, and said that, you know, they've really improved the skill level. But here's the interesting part. The runner is the best player on the offense in terms of consistent performance and production, even though he's been injured a little bit lately, and that's why they're one of the top scoring teams in the conference. So Saban thinks that Tyon Evans is our best offensive player. And I feel like that might not necessarily be the guy that comes to mind initially when people think of our offense, but not necessarily a bad answer. Maybe putting you on the spot a little bit here, but, I mean, who would you guys think like is our best offensive player if it's not Tyon Evans?
Hendon Hooker.
It would have to be Hendon.
Hendon Hooker?
But the quarterback's just the easy answer, you know?
Yeah, but you got to – but we have proof that if it's not Hooker, the offense doesn't work as well. Because we saw what the offense did with Joe Milton, and then you substitute Joe Milton out for Hendon Hooker, and the offense looks light years better. So I think that's why.
I mean, that's not to say, though, that.
And I'm not saying, not trying to diminish Tyon Evans.
I think that's positional value, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, running back.
Is the drop-off bigger between Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton than it is Tyon Evans and Jabari Small?
Yeah, and like by a lot.
Yes.
So that's why it's not a doubt in my mind.
But I feel like that's more of a value thing than a best player thing.
Okay, but if you were to go from Tyon Evans to, say, Marcus Pierce, who I think is still pretty good for what he's asked to do, then I think you would have an argument saying it's Tyon Evans because there is a huge drop-off there. But I think Jabari.
I think like he's just saying like purely like that's their best player though.
Yeah.
Like not necessarily most valuable.
I don't know. I mean, I think you could even say Velus Jones. I mean, without Velus Jones, he's our workhorse at the receiver position.
Well, that was going to be. I think, you know, you could look at Velus Jones, and I think you can even look at this offensive line. I mean, Carvin's a guy that hasn't allowed a sack all year, obviously.
Which is shocking. I did not know that until you told me in the break that was the case.
Obviously, Cade Mays is a highly touted offensive line prospect.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what his status is going into this weekend?
I think we're all just. Day to day.
I didn't even see the injury because I was at the game. I haven't even had a chance to go back and watch it like I normally do. What happened to him? Because I saw somebody on Twitter say it was dirty,
yeah,
the way he got hurt.
His left leg was caught in a pile and twisted awkwardly.
Like twisted on purpose?
Not necessarily.
Because, you know, sometimes people get in those piles and start twisting legs and stuff like that. So
you hope not. You hope not. I don't think it was dirty. I think it's more like one of those that was just kind of a pile of people just trying to stop Matt Corral right there in the middle, and then everybody just kind of got twisted. And then he was just an unlucky guy who just really got the bad end of it.
Well, Saban's just been out here, though, just complimenting the heck out of the Vols.
Well, he complimented Jeremy Pruitt a lot.
Yeah, he loves sprinkling compliments on Tennessee coaches. I feel like that might not even be a good thing if he's complimenting your coach. But he said, yeah, they've lost a couple close games, but they have good players. And they've done a good job of, like, overhauling and getting some of these players in that can make an immediate impact, which I think you have an opportunity to do that with players being able to transfer like they are now. And they've done a really good job of that. They should certainly be credited for the job that they've done to retool and get players that can do well in their system. And they've certainly done that. So, most of what he said was just some form of they've done that. But Nick Saban, it always weirds me out when he compliments our coaches. It makes me think, you know, does he really just want him there? Is that why he's complimenting him? He wants him to stick around?
I mean, I guess it worked for Henry To'oto'o. He probably commented on him a lot last year leading up to that game.
Yeah, Cade Mays, Tyon Evans, and Hendon Hooker, though, they're still all day-to-day. Can you win this game if you don't have all three of them? Or, I mean, or even not. Pause. I'll take that back. Can you play this game competitively and get it past halftime competitively if you don't have all three of those guys?
You have to have Hendon Hooker at the very least.
Yes.
Or Joe Milton just has to play the greatest game of his entire collegiate career. And even at that point, I don't know if it's enough. But to even stand a chance to take this game into a second half where you still are in striking distance, you got to have Hooker.
Yeah, and then for the Tyon Evans aspect of it, if Alabama is trying to zone in on him and he doesn't play, could that kind of work in our favor a little bit? I mean, it's like...
I wouldn't really.
Yeah, like it's just one of those that maybe it's like you're just banking on this explosiveness from Tyon Evans, at least from the Alabama perspective, that if that's not there, see, that would be scary. I think you need him just because he would almost take the overall defensive distraction from Alabama to let somebody else open up and be the hero for that game. I think you need both, at least those two.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game, though.
I am too.
Especially if Hendon Hooker plays.
I am too. I mean, I said it before the Ole Miss game. I thought this was a very beatable Alabama team.
I mean, this is the most beatable an Alabama team has been. Not to say that they are any kind of beatable, but, you know, they just aren't the perfect team this year. They have their flaws. They have areas where, from a matchup perspective, that you can maybe actually try to take advantage. You know, that's not to say that we're going to win this game or anything, but at least, you know, 29-point spread, I think it should be closer than that.
Yeah, if the spread was only 17 points for Mississippi State, it seems kind of like a slap in the face to add on 12 points on top of that. But
I guess
to be fair, Alabama was coming off a loss, and a lot of people had Mississippi State on upset watch. A lot of people thought Mississippi State was going to be able to throw the ball across the middle on them. That obviously was not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they said a lot of things about Mississippi State's offense that we're going to say about our offense this week.
Our offense is better than Mississippi State's, is it not? Like, we are more prolific of an offense.
Well, we have balance. Yeah. I mean, I do think we are a better offense than Mississippi State. I agree with you completely. Players are better. Coaching's better. Scheme's better. But people are going to say a lot of the same things about being able to attack the middle of the field and, you know, you can go after these linebackers and whatever else that they said about Will Rogers, that they said about Mississippi State. But the difference is, without Mississippi State running the ball, because they don't, I mean, they just throw it out the window. Hey, you know, we know, you know, we all know, we're not running the football. You can't be one-dimensional against Alabama, or they will kill you. So, you know, now people are going to look at it, and they're going to say, you know, well, we said that about Mississippi State last week, and look what they did. You know, they only kicked 3 field goals. You know, the middle of the field is not going to be there for Tennessee. But the difference is, Tennessee can run the ball. They make an emphasis to establish the run. They make an emphasis to have balance in this offense. So when Alabama, you know, actually has to worry about different looks and running the football or throwing the football or whatever else, then, you know, I think that opens some things back up that people anticipated would be open for Mississippi State that weren't. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Still a lot to get into with the matchups here. I'm excited, man. I really am. I'm very much looking forward to it. But we will wrap up hour one on the other side. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Wrapping up hour one right here on the Blitz, Charlie GP3, intern Ryan. Want to let you know about our fans over at FanDuel Sportsbook. Basketball season is back, and there is no better place to bet on the NBA than with FanDuel. To celebrate the NBA tip-off, FanDuel Sportsbook has given new customers enhanced odds. That's right, get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 19th or 20th. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now's the perfect time to give it a shot. We've been talking about the NBA. They opened up last night. You got 3 more games tonight. You got the Hawks tonight, the Heat tonight. They're both opening up their schedules. Hawks-Mavs should be a great game. So should Bucks-Heat. Clippers-Warriors, not too bad either. We got a star-studded Thursday night. And I might take the Heat. I might take the Heat tonight. I know they're my team, but They've always played Giannis really well, and I know they probably got a pretty bad taste in their mouth from the playoffs. This game probably means more to them than it does for the Bucks at this point in the season.
Bucks already had their opener, so this is game number two for them. So,
I mean,
I could see it being
the Heat, you know, playing a team that embarrassed them basically in the playoffs, and you know, they're a very prideful organization. I feel like tonight they're really going to try to make a point. Hawks, Mavericks, I like the over there. Seems like a fun over.
Atlanta's a 2.5-point favorite right now over the Mavs.
That I don't know about. I don't know how good this Hawks team actually is, or you know how.
I'm interested to see how Trae Young adjusts to the new
foul
rules.
Call.
Yeah, because it's no longer are you able to just draw fouls like you were before. So I know he's still got a deadly floater coming down, and he can shoot from three like nobody else. But a lot of his game was predicated on being able to draw fouls.
I mean, I think this Hawks team could be really good, but you know, also they haven't really had to actually deal with high expectations before, so it might be a little bit of a slow start. But all these games and more available to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. Gotta love betting the NBA on FanDuel. It's easy to use, easy to register, deposit, and it's easy to find your bet. And when you do win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And each day, some pretty cool, pretty big, super boost, and other odds boost. A lot of good promotions. FanDuel is great with promotions. Plus, you can live bet with FanDuel, too. There's nothing like turning on a game in the fourth quarter and just live betting it, just to live bet it. So see for yourself why America's number one sportsbook is FanDuel. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up today using promo code Blitz to get 75-1 odds on any team to win. That's promo code Blitz. And make every moment more this NBA season. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for TN users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. TN site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789. Got just a couple minutes here.
You want to touch on this real quick? Did either of you see the App State game last night?
We actually talked about that first segment.
Oh, I missed that.
But
but good for y'all up there, GP3.
Good for me.
You went to Austin Peay, didn't you?
Well, Austin Peay didn't play in this.
I know. I just made the mistake that App State and Austin Peay were the same team up there. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm currently backtracking.
Well, anyway.
Muting your mic for the rest of this.
any thoughts any big takeaways last night from what was the majority of NBA teams opening night?
The Knicks are going to be fun to watch this year.
The Knicks were fun to watch last year. I mean, Julius Randle has really, reinvented himself in New York. But, yeah, I think the Knicks are going to be a lot of fun to keep an eye on this year. Grizzlies, Ja Morant, he was on a mission last night. I think he dropped 37. I mean, I don't know how good the Grizzlies team is going to be overall. They didn't do a whole lot of upgrading during the offseason, but Ja just seems to only be getting better each year.
They did a lot of maneuvering in the offseason.
They did a lot of maneuvering, that's for sure.
I don't know if they upgraded, though. Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, my takeaway from last night is that the Timberwolves, I know they played the Rockets, but I think that they could be a little feisty this year. I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs or anything like that, but, you know, I think that this could be a much improved team. Cat is back healthy, and
he had a nasty dunk.
He's kind of retooled himself a little bit physically too. You know, he lost a lot of weight during COVID and everything. He dropped 30 last night, and then Anthony Edwards, he had 29.
It's gonna be nice.
And he plays with a ton of swag too. And then D'Angelo Russell, he had a pretty good night too. He had 22. So between those three guys, you know, their bench is a little thin. You know, they don't have great role players, but I think that with that, you know, miniature big three, they could be sneaky good this year. So
I'm just now seeing this too. Grant Williams got the start last night for the Celtics.
Boom,
he did, and he hit two very clutch threes really even up the game.
He finished 6 of 9 from the field, 3 of 5 from three, with 15 points, 5 boards, 4 assists.
I mean, played 31 minutes.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah, good for him. Because I mean, we all thought he was kind of being pushed out of
Boston.
Spot.
Yeah. And then speaking of Boston real quick, Jaylen Brown was on a mission. Like, he literally put up his career high last night coming off of an injury. That's amazing. That needs to at least get brought up by somebody. Glad it was me.
46 points.
Well, that's it for hour one right here on the Blitz. Well, we got a jam-packed hour two ahead of you. Continuing to look at Tennessee, Alabama.
Top four, middle four, bottom four? Maybe?
Just maybe, GP3. Maybe. Just maybe. Hour one done, hour two next. Stay with us.